Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick. Georgia, Auburn, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina took the stage at SEC Media Days today. LSU visits Auburn and new head coach Alex Golish October 24th. Golish took over at Auburn after a 9-3 season at USF last year. He brought 13 players with him, including quarterback Byron Brown. Brown says those former Bulls have a chip on their shoulders as they head to the SEC.
We just put our head down, go to work, be the best us that we can be every single day, and I think that speaks for everybody that transferred. We just want Auburn to be its best and want to leave it better than we found it, and that's the plan, bring Auburn back to where it should be.
UL Lafayette Athletics Director Dr. Brian Maggard is leaving to take a job as the deputy AD at Missouri. Locked On Sunbelt podcast host Dave Schultz says he guided the Cajuns through a new era in college athletics.
Overall, I think Brian Maggard did a great job. Now, college sports absolutely changed before his eyes. It was one thing when he took the job with the Cajuns. It's absolutely another thing now that he's moving on to Missouri.
LRN.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU.
Southland Conference Media Day was today. McNeese head coach Matt Viator is entering his second season back in Lake Charles after winning four conference titles with the Pokes from 2006 to 2015. He says the Cowboys have a tough week one matchup against defending champ Stephen F. Austin.
They're going to be tough. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to be well coached. So we know it's a big challenge for us, but hopefully the fact that we've gotten better at the routine and we've gotten better and stuff. So hopefully, we'll do what we need to do in camp to have a shot.
Northwestern State head coach Blaine McCorkle is still trying to build the Demons program after notching just one win in two seasons. The Demons host Louisiana Christian in this year's opener, and McCorkle expects an electric atmosphere.
Even with the lack of success we've had the last few years, I think we went over 11,000 twice last year, which is really neat to see. So when we start flipping that scoreboard and putting some W's up, it's going to be really exciting to see what that stadium turns back into. And I tell people all the time, they built it the way it is for a reason, because they once needed it, and we're going to need it again.
Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council, Boudreaux's Electrical Services, and Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Case Kieschnick and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, hour number two of the show. Thanks for listening. If you missed the first hour, don't worry. You'll be able to catch it on YouTube or anywhere you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded to those two venues here about an hour or 2 hours after the show. So, and then, of course, you'll have the entire week to be able to have a chance to catch up to what we had in the first hour. A lot of talk about what Greg Sankey had to say to open up SEC Football Media Days. Raymond Parsh from ESPN Southwest Radio joined us as well from Tampa. And our next guest is also in Tampa. It is Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Chris, thanks a lot for spending some time with us. Of course, Chris also works at Sports Talk 790 in Houston. How you doing, Chris?
Doing good, guys. Good to know RP3 opened for me. He's a good opener.
He is a good opener. We're not going to ask you to bunt. We're going to ask you to try to hit it in the gap and try to drive him home after he got on base. So looking forward to
this. That would be better than this LSU baseball team.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Wow.
Not the team that's in that great book that you read, is it, Chris?
No, and I'm glad to tell Glenn I finally finished his book. It took me like four summers.
A lot of big words in there.
It helped, I guess, that LSU baseball got eliminated. It allowed you to read a little bit more about the glory days of LSU baseball. But, Chris... obviously Greg Sankey is the one that made news. It's still what everybody is talking about. Your big takeaways from what he had to say on Monday.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is posturing. I mean, I think at the end of the day, they just want, and Kirby Smart kind of reiterated today, they want rules and they want them enforced. I mean, it's not a crazy idea. It just seems like there's been so much anarchy these last few years of college sports because, you know, the NCAA made rules and then everybody just breaks them or, you know, gets a local judge to overrule or, you know, whatever. And it's a mess. And so I think that's all they're asking for. I don't think it's not a threat. It's not like the SEC is saying, fix this or we're going to go do our own thing. It's saying you guys won't do what you're supposed to do. So what choice are you leaving us? We want to have rules and rules enforcement. And so, yeah, I think it's just a sign on the NCAA just being a spineless organization and not being retroactive or proactive, I should say, in you know, the last few years and getting ahead of some of this stuff. And this is where we are right now. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, it sounds great and all. I mean, I've even said if the SEC were to break off, I think you could only do it in football only. I think you would still have to be a member of the NCAA and basketball and baseball, track and field and all that, because I just can't imagine you creating your own championships in those leagues. I mean, what, are you not going to go to Omaha? You're not going to be part of the NCAA tournament in basketball? It's a crazy idea. So, you know, if you went off and branched off and did your own thing in football, maybe, you know, there's a world where the SEC and Big Ten could partner up and separate from the NCAA in that light. But I think every other sport you would have to participate still. And there's just so many headaches and red tape you'd have to get through. I think it's, like I said, I think it's just posturing and saying, get your stuff together, NCAA, and you know, kind of pushing Congress and this Protect College Sports Act a little bit, too, to say, let's get something passed here.
Yeah, they're not going to break out in bowling. I don't think so. But
they don't have a bowling.
Well, we've covered that business end of the SEC media days pretty well here so far. Getting back to the football field, what teams have you heard from the last couple of days that you think are impressive, or just what's some other observations? And what have you heard interesting about Kiffin from the other coaches?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Kirby Smart today. I mean, Georgia is Georgia. It's so crazy, guys. They spent so many years trying to get to Atlanta and trying to win, you know, win the SEC championship. Kirby finally broke through and did it a few years back. And now he's won back-to-back SEC championships these past 2 years, and yet, like, all everybody wants to talk about with Georgia is, man, they lost 2 years in a row in the playoff. And it's like, can we not take a minute and recognize, like, they won the SEC championship 2 years in a row in years where the SEC has been as stacked as it's ever been in terms of competitive, and it's like we don't even give a hat tip to that. But, you know, the craziest stat to me is Kirby is, I believe it's 65-7 since 2021. I mean, he's incredible, and I think the kind of consensus around, you know, the media here at Media Days is that it's Georgia and Texas. Those are the two best teams of the conference. I think those will be the picks when the media votes tomorrow on, you know, on who they think will win the conference. But, you know, Kirby's as confident as he's ever been. You know, their defense took a little bit of a step back last year. They still only gave up 17 points a game, but they only had 20 sacks. You go look at Kirby's teams years prior. It's like 35, 37, 40 sacks. I mean, they are known for wreaking havoc. They did not do that last year. And so I know Kirby's made that a mission to try to get back to doing that. And he's got his quarterback, Gunnar Stockton, back, who is a very efficient, you know, very smart quarterback, takes care of the football, takes a lot of hits. So, yeah, Georgia is ready to go. And, you know, if you look for a team that, you know, might be a little bit of a sleeper just in terms of might sneak up on people, I got to interview Will Stein yesterday from Kentucky, and that guy is a future rock star, in my opinion. I mean, he's 36 years old. He's first-time head coach. But, man, he is an offensive guru. He was the OC at Oregon just last year. And he's a Kentucky kid through and through. His family all lives there, and he's happy to be repping the Bluegrass State. And with, you know, I think it's like 40-something, you know, guys they brought in through the portal, like – it's going to be, like, I've called them the ultimate wild card. Like, yeah. Kentucky is a team, you look at the schedule and you don't know what you're going to get from. Like, that's a team that could, you know, that could really give anybody a game. And we've had several people say they think they're going to give Alabama a game in week two in Lexington because Alabama's, you know, going to be working in a new quarterback. So going to be fascinating to watch Will Stein in Kentucky.
Well, that leads me to my question I wanted to ask you, Chris. Well, which game is a bigger challenge for LSU, at Kentucky or at Auburn?
I think at Auburn, because Jordan Hare, look, nothing against Kroger Field. It is tough. You know, I was there a couple years ago when it was the game that Ed Ogeron got fired, lost there. I mean, yeah. I was standing there as everybody in blue and white were singing Callin' Baton Rouge.
Yeah, they got killed that night. So, they sure did.
Yeah, it was brutal. And that was the trip that the big money people from LSU made that trip, and they got to see that in person. So they reacted accordingly, but – yeah, to me, at Auburn, Jordan Hare, I mean, as up and down as Auburn's been in recent years, Jordan Hare is still one of the most feared stadiums. When that eagle is flying around and that crowd gets going, kudos to their fans, man. I mean, they support their team through thick and thin, and they can get loud. And so, yeah, it's a little bit of a, you know, if you're LSU, you would have rather have gone to Auburn the last couple of years as opposed to this year with Alex Golish, who actually knows what he's doing on offense, as opposed to whatever Hugh Freeze was putting out there in the last 2 years.
So, and Brian Harsin, man.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. But this might be the year. Year one of Golish. Maybe this is the year that might be a little bit easier going back to Jordan Hare, but always a tough place to play on the road.
Look, Chris, you're locked on the SEC. See what I did there?
Wow, that's
pretty good. So what do you think about all this talk that's supposedly going around Tampa right now that Lane Kiffin has to win and win big in his first year at LSU? Do you believe that? Do you buy into that?
No, I don't. I mean, I think it's a little silly because most of the LSU fans I've talked to have said, look, I know we spent $40 million on a transfer portal, but, like, you know, if we go 9-3 or 8-4, it's a good foundational year to get this thing started under Kiffin, but everybody gets it. It's a tough schedule. I mean, it's a brutal schedule. You get road trips to Tennessee, a home game against Texas in November. Like, it is brutal. And Clemson in the opener. So, I think most level-headed LSU fans, look, everybody's hoping to go 10-2 or better and make the playoff. But, you know, are they going to call for his head if he goes 9-3, 8-4? No. I think most people say, look, we got it. It was a tough you know, year one. And Kiffin will go back to the portal and make the adjustments he needs to make. But on the outside, you're absolutely right. Everybody's like, he better win. You know, he left Ole Miss for this. And it's like, look, man, he didn't leave to go win at LSU this year. He left to go win at LSU in the next 5 years. That's the whole thing. It's about establishing a big thing at LSU, recruiting well, and building a dynasty at LSU potentially. That's why he left Oxford. If it was just about winning this year, he would have stayed at Ole Miss and, you know, he would have won, you know, made the playoff this year, returned that championship and Kevon Lacy back. So, but you're right. I was talking with one of the national guys today. I said, man, it is like nationally, Lane Kiffin could do nothing right.
Right.
I mean, it is when they go to Oxford week three, guys, the entire nation will be rooting against LSU. If you're an LSU fan, you just kind of embrace that because it everybody is rooting against you.
And that's why I fear a little bit at SEC Media Days on Thursday, we're not going to learn much about the LSU team because the national guys are going to continue to keep asking them, well, about leaving Ole Miss.
Yeah, and that's what I've been saying. You know, people are saying, like, what are one of the big storylines you want to watch? People forget when Lane got introduced at LSU, it was a very pro-LSU, you know, press conference room. It was all local media, and I think maybe Ross Dellinger and one other national person was there, but it was all local media.
Yeah.
And then every time he met with the media throughout the spring, it was all local media. It's the first time since he left Oxford, or really since he left the tarmac with Marty Smith, that he's going to be asked some tough questions by national media and Ole Miss media as well. So I'm curious to see how Lane handles it because there are a lot of angry folks in Oxford that I think are going to be looking for their piece of flesh on Thursday.
Hey, Chris, two of the biggest games that LSU is going to play this year are in Tiger Stadium, not counting the Ole Miss game, but they involve two Texas teams, Texas A&M and Texas. And I know you've already said you think Texas is one of the top two teams in the league this year, but do you give LSU a chance in either of those games?
Man, we're going to gloss over Alabama like LSU's just beating Alabama.
Well, they have a new quarterback.
That has happened, though, quite a few times since that schedule was announced. Yeah. Alabama's just another game.
No, my Alabama friend likes to remind me that, Alabama beats LSU more in Baton Rouge than they win just about anywhere else. So it's pretty crazy. But, no, I mean, it's a tough schedule top to bottom. It just is. I mean, you go to a 9-game conference slate, it's tough. And newsflash, guys, Vanderbilt is they're not the doormat anymore. They're a competitive team. Clark Lee's got those guys believing. Jeff Levy and Mississippi State are supposed to take a step forward in year three. So, the SEC is tough top to bottom. But you're right. I mean, Texas A&M is going to be tough. Texas is going to be tough. I do think A&M takes a little bit of a step back. They lose Colin Klein, their young, bright offensive mind. He goes back to Kansas State. They promoted within. Holman Wiggins is their offensive coordinator. I think it's a mistake on Mike Elko's part. And it reminds me a little bit of last year. South Carolina promoted within and made Mike Elko their OC. It was a disaster. Lenore Sellers went from one of the best quarterbacks in the conference to a dud. Went 4-8. So I think this Holman Wiggins experiment, look, there's a chance Marcel Reed regresses and is not as good this year. And so maybe A&M isn't as tough. Look, I know that LSU can't get beat any worse than they did last year by A&M. That's the game that got Brian Kelly fired. So
That was only the second half.
They won the first half, yeah, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Brian Kelly will let you know, too. They were really good in the first half. But I will say, I mean, Texas is going to be a problem. I mean, Steve Sarkisian, they've used the words all in so many times this offseason. They fired their defensive coordinator. They brought in Will Muschamp to create more havoc and pressure. They got rid of their entire running back room and brought in new running backs through the portal. They got Cam Coleman, one of the top wide receiver portal guys. And then Arch Manning kid's pretty good. So Texas is going to be a problem.
Well, we appreciate it, Chris. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks a lot for your time. Enjoy the final 2 days in Tampa, and hopefully we get some more good storylines. It'll be interesting to see what Lane says on Thursday.
Thanks, guys. And Glenn, you need to write another book. It'll take me 5 years to read.
Thanks, man.
All right. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, also with Sports Talk Radio in Houston at 790. We'll take a break. Talk a little baseball when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's electrical services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. Boudreaux'sElectricalServices.com for more information.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins' products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Cluck your way to a big win. Play Chicken Scratch Bingo Tripler from the lottery. Win up to $50,000. Get ready to ruffle some feathers with big wins. Ready to stack up the cash? Then play $100,000 cash stacks from the lottery. Top prize, $100,000. Pile on the fun with $100,000 cash stacks. Louisiana Lottery, celebrating 35 years of reasons to smile. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines. Everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions now.
Call 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo and Todd Horn. For LSU baseball fans, Friday night was a cool night if you stayed up to watch the game. And there's probably not too many people in Louisiana would normally stay up to watch the A's take on the Nationals in Sacramento. But that's the situation you had on Friday night with Gage Jump starting for the A's. Tommy White making his major league debut. You had Dylan Cruz in right field for the Nationals. And Jay Johnson was there. Of course, right. He is from that part of the country, so a chance for him to go back home and then check out three of his former guys. And so it was a fun game. It was interesting. Tommy Tanks got a double in his last at-bat and a blowout loss on Friday. But then last night, in case you didn't see it in the game in Arizona, Tommy White had four hits. And this is the thing that just watching him and then just kind of looking at his statistics, he hit 74 home runs in college baseball. In minor league baseball, he's only hit 24 home runs. He has become more of a, and I saw a little brief interview. I don't know when it was exactly done. It wasn't done on Friday. It was, I think, it seemed like it was an interview done in spring training or something, just kind of talking about, and he talked a lot about being a contact hitter. And that's kind of what his game looks like. Like he's still got that really good bat speed, but he seems more of a guy that would rather hit closer than 300 than hit 30 home runs a season.
I think it has to do with the fact that he cut his hair. He's not wearing the pink sleeves
or
anymore.
The eye black that's all over black. His face. Yeah.
And he looks like he's lost about 20 pounds too.
Yeah. I was trying to figure that out because he was 242 as a freshman at North Carolina State, 230 at LSU. At least that's what it said on the LSU website. He's now listed at 220.
So there you go, 22 pounds. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm a good gauge.
So, but yeah, it was pretty cool. And, of course, Tommy gets an opportunity because their all-star first baseman, Nick Kurtz, is out. He's got a sprained thumb. And then their third baseman, he got injured, so Tommy White can play first or third, and so we'll see. We'll see how long
he's
he
playing mostly first, though, right
mostly
now.
Mostly first, yeah.
Mostly first, yeah.
You know what's funny about his call-up, too, is you know, most of the time when you get called up, you go to a much bigger ballpark.
Yeah.
But he got called up to the Athletics, and they're playing in a minor league ballpark
right.
that he's already played in.
Yeah.
14,000-seat Sacramento Stadium.
Yeah.
So.
They're supposed to be in Las Vegas next year?
No.
28.
So they're going to play in that park all next year, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Charlie Finley's rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
And Paul Skeens has rebounded a little bit. He has won his last three starts, and the Pirates are hot. And it'll be interesting to see what they do at the trade deadline if they try to add, because they have one of the best offenses in Major League Baseball. And you combine that with their starting staff, which is, of course, led by Skeens, they could be it could be a dangerous team.
I think they're about 9 games out, though.
Not in the wild card.
Yeah, right.
But the wild card, they're right there.
If they were in the American League West, they'd be in first place.
Wait, what does this mean for your Cubs, though?
What it means is, you know, the Cubs have had a lot of success against Skeens.
Yeah.
For some reason. They had beat them earlier this year, in fact. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I kind of like the Pirates. I don't like the Cardinals. I hate the Brewers, but the Pirates, I'm like,
How can you hate the Brewers, man? Harvey Wallbangers, man. I love the Brewers.
They annoy me.
Oh. Right, so that's because they beat you.
Yeah, exactly.
They're better.
They are better. I will freely admit it, and it aggravates the living daylights out of me.
What's Bregman doing for the Cubs?
Oh, he is not very well liked in Chicago.
Why is that?
Well, in fact, there was a game first of all, he has not been very good.
That's probably it right there.
That's a big part of it. If he was, he's only got 10 home runs. He's hitting .240. He's been basically a singles hitter for him. He still plays really good defense. I'll give him that. I think defensively he's really good. But he had a game in Milwaukee. I want to say it was around the 1st of July, where he hit a ground ball to short. He didn't bust it out of the box, and then the shortstop bobbled it. And if he was running hard down the line, he would have beat the throw. And so, of course, the guy's making $35 million a year. Everybody's saying that the guy making $35 million a year can't run down the first baseline. Bregman says, hey, I've had 8 soft tissues. You know how Bregman is. Mm-hmm. He's very defensive about his game. I've had 8 soft tissues running down first base. There's times where I book it. There are times that I don't. Yeah, if I could go back in time, I probably would have ran fast because I didn't know he was going to bobble the ball. But the next night, he hits a home run. He hits a 3-run blast. And as he's going around the bases,
he trips.
No, at Wrigley Field, he's doing this thumbs down motion.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
No, that's not. So he's not very well liked in Chicago right now. Hey. Now, if he hits a 3-run homer to beat the Brewers in the playoffs, they'll throw a parade for him. But for right now, it's not been a very good first year in Chicago for him.
Speaking of the Brewers, coached by former college coach Pat Murphy,
yeah.
What about the other college coach, San Francisco Giants coach, Tony Vitello, is 20.5 games out of first. Man, you think he's going to last the year?
That's brutal.
Or make it the next year, you think?
I don't know. I could see them maybe pulling the plug out of
them. There wasn't much hope for them this year, though. Was there going into the year?
He'll probably get a second year, I would think.
That's a tough division, man. Even as bad as San Diego's not having. I mean, San Diego's a good team. They got all stars all over their team. That's a tough division, and he's getting chewed up and spit up and thrown. It's been bad. Been bad. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Ryan Clark's dismissal from ESPN.
Cluck your way to a big win. Play Chicken Scratch Bingo Tripler from the lottery. Win up to $50,000. Get ready to ruffle some feathers with big wins. Ready to stack up the cash? Then play $100,000 cash stacks from the lottery. Top prize, $100,000. Pile on the fun with $100,000 cash stacks. Louisiana Lottery, celebrating 35 years of reasons to smile. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-CUMMINS, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-CUMMINS.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Jeff Palermo. Tropical Storm Bertha, located near the Florida and Alabama coast, has maximum sustained winds of 60 miles an hour as it begins to trek towards Louisiana.
National Weather Service meteorologist Jacob Zarang says tropical storm force wind gusts will begin to be felt in Louisiana as early as tomorrow morning, with landfall currently forecast for sometime tomorrow evening.
We still have a few days of this kind of lingering around our coastline, and then early Friday morning finally exiting into the Texas coast.
Zarang says storm surge is the biggest threat, with 2 to 4 feet of inundation possible on the eastern facing shores. I'm Andrew Greenstein.
The latest forecast track from the National Hurricane Center has Bertha moving west to east across Louisiana's coast, maintaining tropical storm strength through Thursday. Expect gusty winds and some rain in South Louisiana, but no break from the heat. Most of the state is under an extreme heat warning tomorrow. Jeff Palermo, Louisiana Radio Network.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
The FDA originally traced the source of the explosive diarrhea outbreak to contaminated lettuce from Taylor Farms, but it now says that test was a false positive. In his conference call with reporters today, Senator Bill Cassidy says the FDA should not have jumped the gun in its assessment.
Clearly, it would have been better not to have said that. Has an incredible impact upon Taylor Farms, if it's potentially not true. They are trying to bring facts to the attention of the public as soon as possible, so I get that.
Taylor Farms is still recalling its lettuce out of an abundance of caution. Big news in Lafayette is Raging Cajun's athletics director, Dr. Brian Maggard, is leaving to be the deputy AD at Missouri. Host of the Locked On Sunbelt podcast, Dave Schultz, says Maggard guided the Cajuns through a new era of college athletics.
Overall, I think Brian Maggard did a great job. Now, college sports absolutely changed before his eyes. It was one thing when he took the job with the Cajuns. It's absolutely another thing now that he's moving on to Missouri.
LRN.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Tough day for ESPN as they laid off several of their on-air personalities, including former LSU Tiger Ryan Clark. And a man who was writing about it before Ryan Clark actually received his dismissal and the is Dan Zakshefsky from Outkick. Dan Zakshefsky joining us here on Tiger Rag Radio. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us. How you doing tonight?
Sure, no problem. I'm doing well. Thank you.
It's good to have you on. So this is just a bizarre story in the sense of how it all went down. From Outkick's perspective, how do they see this? Because obviously the news has come out that Ryan Clark was actually on the air, and then when they went to commercial break, they, I guess, brought him in the room and said, that's it, you're done here. And that's really a tough way to be told that you're – it's never a good thing to be fired. It's never good news to get, but to get it when you're an on-air personality, to actually get it when you're in the middle of your show.
Yeah, so what happened was ESPN had planned to tell Ryan and everyone else who was being laid off Tuesday, so this morning, that they were being laid off, which is why Ryan was scheduled for his normal appearance on NFL Live on Monday, not knowing anything. I received information on Monday morning that this was coming, that Clark was indeed going to be part of the layoffs. So I brought that information to, you know, our editorial team. And one of our other reporters, Bobby Burak, said, hey, I heard that too from a different source. So I was like, okay. He had a couple sources. I had a couple sources. And we talked it over. And we're like, all right, well, we feel comfortable. You know, we've got four sources basically saying Ryan Clark is part of the ESPN layoff. So we felt pretty comfortable to go with the story. Now, as you guys know, standard journalism practice is to give the subject of a story. In this case, it was ESPN, not Clark, because we didn't know if Clark knew, a chance to comment. That being said, we had our reservations about contacting ESPN because the worry was that if we let them know that we knew, they could possibly try to undermine us. Look, we can't prove necessarily what happened, but we sent an email at 4 p.m. Eastern time saying we are going to publish in 1 hour at 5 o'clock. We are going to publish this story that says Ryan Clark is being laid off. Would you like to comment? ESPN initially said, can you hold the story till 5:45? Now, I assume they asked for that because they wanted the show to end and then be able to tell Clark after the show. We said no, because again, we didn't feel comfortable waiting. We knew other outlets could possibly have this. We knew ESPN could possibly be communicating to other outlets to make sure they got it first. So we said no. And then ESPN suddenly, like 10 minutes later, was like, yeah, actually 5 o'clock is fine. And then lo and behold, Andrew Marchand of The Athletic posts a story that was 2 paragraphs long and contained a typo, which made it look like his story was quite rushed to get out there to beat our story, which again, can't prove it, but the circumstantial evidence seems to point to the fact that ESPN probably alerted Marchand that our story was coming at 5 o'clock. And if he wanted to get his story up at the same time, that would be ideal.
Dan, did just out of curiosity, did you guys in your story, I didn't see it, did you have Cam Newton also in it, or was it just about Ryan Clark?
Bobby reported exclusively this morning on the Cam Newton news. We did not alert ESPN that we knew about Cam Newton because we didn't want to have that happen.
Hey, Dan, this is Glenn. Thanks for joining us, man. Yeah, that's amazing. Were you and Bobby, were y'all communicating before you realized you had this, you know, similar information, or did that just kind of happen?
Yeah, it just kind of happened. Glenn, great to talk to you again. As you know, we have our Outkick editorial meetings twice a day. So at the afternoon meeting, I brought up that I had had this information, and Bobby was like, oh, I do too. And that's kind of how it came together. Yeah, it's kind of how it came together. It's why we do those meetings, right? You know, and at that point, realizing that we both had multiple sources, we felt comfortable with it. Because, you know, when it comes to stuff like this, someone losing their job, like, that's something you want to be absolutely sure of. And I honestly would not have done the story if it was just me. I honestly had some reservations. But once I heard that Bobby had a couple people, I was like, okay, we got four sources. Like, that's a lot. Like, we're comfortable now with this.
And were you guys ever able to get in touch with Ryan, or has Ryan spoken to anyone other than his statements on Twitter and so forth?
No, he doesn't communicate with us. He had his statement on social media, and then I did notice that the Breakfast Club is circulating a statement from, quote, sources close to Ryan that sounds like a text they're reading from Ryan. But, you know, again, my opinion. Sounds like he's feeding some information to the media outlets that he wants to feed them to. He's not going to give us a statement because he thinks we'll twist it or whatever he thinks.
Well, OutKick was more fair to him than ESPN was, I would say.
I would agree with that. Honestly, I would agree with that, especially in our breaking story. And, you know, guys, quite frankly, if ESPN had told us, like, hey, can you hold your story because we haven't told Ryan yet and we don't want this to come out while he's on the air, I would have said, yes, that's fine. If they were totally open and honest and TR was transparent with me and said, this is why we'd like you to hold the story. And if you do that, we won't go tell anyone else and we'll let you have the story. I would have said, that's fine. I actually didn't even realize Clark was on the air when I sent the email. Like, I don't pay that close attention to ESPN's schedule. And I also was shocked to find out after the fact that he was on the air. Yeah. And I went back and watched the replay of NFL Live. And I did notice that he was on the air for about the first 40 minutes, give or take, because with the commercial breaks. And then in the fourth segment, as you guys know, all of a sudden a pre-produced Leonard Fournette segment plays for like 10 minutes. And you're like, oh, I bet they threw that in there because they were like, what do we do now?
Wow.
Interesting
choice. We need to fill some time.
Well, Dan, what do you make of now the reason for this, for people that don't follow sports media? ESPN acquired the NFL media assets, and there's one of the reasons why they've done this is because they wanted to reduce the duplication. Obviously, you got like Tom Pelissero, who was an NFL Network insider, was one of the individuals that was let go today. But there's people outside of the football realm that have also been let go. We mentioned Carl Ravitch, who LSU baseball fans are very familiar with as someone who's called College World Series games, and he's done a lot of the SEC basketball games, the Tuesday night games here over the last couple of seasons, and several other people as well. What do you make out of this? And Pat McAfee has been taking a lot of darts today because people are saying, look, they're firing all these people so they can give Pat McAfee this huge contract.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been everyone does that as soon as these layoffs happen. ESPN does layoffs every couple of years. You guys probably realize that by now. I actually will tell you that I was part of an ESPN layoff back in 2020, November. I used to work for ESPN, worked there for almost 10 years. I was part of a layoff. Like, they happen every couple of years. I do believe them in one aspect. Like, it does make sense to get rid of Tom Pelissero because, God forbid, someone steps on Adam Schefter's toes. You know, we can't have that.
Yeah, right.
You know, I feel bad for Ravitch, who I also worked with and think is great. I think that's tough. You know, Stefania Bell, I worked with, thought she was great. I think that the NFL Network, though, was a very convenient cover to get rid of Ryan Clark. And guys, I think this started back when he signed his last deal. If you recall, in 2024, Ryan made it very public that their contract negotiations were not going well. He accused ESPN of not valuing him enough, of thinking he deserved more money. ESPN does not take kindly to that kind of thing. And in 2024, I think the climate was a little bit more contentious, where there was some concern about, you know, him bringing possibly race into it if they let him go. So I think they begrudgingly signed him in 2024. But I believe that was always going to be his last contract, that he was never going to get another contract from ESPN. And then, as you guys obviously are well aware, the statements he made around the Kyron Lacy situation, when he essentially accused the entire Louisiana State Police of being racist, and then the video comes out, I think that one was a big, I don't think enough people are talking about how important that misstep was. Ryan's had to apologize on air like four or five times in the last 2 years for things that he said. So it's easy to say it's redundancy, but I think Clark's days were numbered pretty much as soon as he signed that last deal.
Do you believe his career is pretty much over now?
What do you mean?
Well, since he's made so many missteps and there's not too many places to land.
He still has his podcast, and I would imagine he'll still do very well.
I mean, the reason I ask, what do you mean, is do I think he's going to get another network television job? No, I don't. I don't think Ryan Clark is going to be added to NBC's Sunday Night Football coverage. Yeah, or, right. You know, I mean, there's a possibility that one of the streamers, because they're relatively new, might want someone who draws some controversy, maybe, but I think he's going to probably focus on his podcast. It does well. They're out doing live shows and all that. And, you know, Ryan's made a ton of money. I mean, no one should shed a tear for Ryan Clark. It's tough to get fired in the middle of a show, but, you know, nature of the business.
It happened to Jeff earlier.
Certainly isn't.
Yeah, we've announced, Dan, that Ryan Clark is replacing Jeff here on our show. He's going to start next week.
But I stayed on the show. I didn't run away like Ryan Clark did. Yeah, well, it's for those. How old are you, Dan, if I mind asking?
I am 36 years old.
36 years old. Okay, so I'm 50, and I've been watching the podcast that Rich Eisen, This is SportsCenter, was fantastic for those that haven't been able to watch it. For someone like me, a kid of the 90s, where SportsCenter was at its peak, and it's certainly ESPN is not even if you didn't have all the politics that seem to be around ESPN now, the SportsCenter would still never be the same just because we have a phone and we can watch highlights. Back in the day, we had to wait till 10 o'clock SportsCenter or the 11 o'clock SportsCenter if you wanted to watch the highlights of a certain game. But it's still, for those that, like myself, that grew up on ESPN SportsCenter, seeing these kind of events and seeing all these people get let go, it's tough. It's tough to watch. And you're right. A lot of these people, I don't know where they turn. And I've seen a lot of, it's good to see that it looks like you've rebounded pretty well in your career. But there's a lot of people, when they get let go from ESPN, man, this shatters them. This takes a long time for them to regroup.
It can, but honestly, guys, like almost everyone I know that's been let go from ESPN tells me, and I'll say the same thing, didn't know it at the time. Best day of my life.
Yeah.
Best day of my life. Like, people don't understand, like, working at ESPN, one guy said to me one time, it's better to be a former ESPN employee than a current ESPN employee. And I didn't understand what that actually meant.
That's good on the resume.
Until now.
Yeah.
It's great, right? I could say I worked at ESPN for 10 years. It looks good on a resume, but I do not miss working there. I'm glad I don't. I did want to say, you brought up a memory of mine, because I, you know, same thing, right? Like, a little younger than you, but I remember my dad used to make me hold a cardboard box over the bottom of the TV to cover up the bottom line, because he didn't want the red score scheduled before they showed the highlights. He wanted to be surprised and actually get to watch the highlights without knowing the score.
Yep,
SportsCenter.
Those were the days, man. That was awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, very good stuff, Dan, and thanks for pulling the curtain behind and letting us know about it. Tough day for Ryan Clark, but maybe he'll bounce back, just like you did, and sounds like so many others have. We appreciate your time tonight.
Should have just put some duct tape over the bottom of the TV, Dan.
That's great.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
All right. Dan Zakrzewski from Outkick. Good stuff, man. That's pretty wow. If you want to see how the sausage is made when it comes to a breaking story or a story that you get a scoop on, that was very interesting. We'll be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of tax professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions now.
Call 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio. We got, we went a little long there with Dan. So we got Lane Kiffin speaking on Thursday. Lane's been obviously quiet, no social media. Do you think it's going to be, is he going to be when he, and he's going to get a lot of tough questions based on the past and not so much about this 2026 LSU team, I feel like. But do you think he's going to be a low-key Lane Kiffin on Thursday?
I think he'll start out low-key, and I think he may remain low-key. I think he's going to hide or cling, not hide behind, but cling to the resources that LSU has, the opportunity that LSU has, the great best program that LSU football is that he's been mimicking and talking about. And I think that's going to be his cover, if you will, for those hard questions coming from the national reporters about leaving Ole Miss and from the Ole Miss reporters. And I think he's going to talk about the fact that he did have the financial support to bring the roster to the level that he brought it to. And then now it's a matter of putting it together, and you can't expect to do it because of the tough schedule, and Sankey's submarining him.
Well, national, there's a lot of national writers there, and there's a lot of Ole Miss writers there too. But there's a lot of LSU writers, and I guarantee you they're going to get their questions in that are going to be nice and softball, okay? Because you see it yeah, every time, right, not just right. LSU, the other schools, they get those questions in there to kind of almost filibuster. I remember there was a guy that covered Alabama that would do that all the time.
So what is Scott Rabelais going to ask?
Oh, come on, wow.
Well, I remember Les Miles, he would just ramble on for 14 minutes when he was at that main podium to, I don't know, what did they allot, 25 minutes for each coach?
Oh, yeah.
And he would just ramble for 13-14 minutes.
Lane might do that.
Well, Brian Kelly did that.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen, too? You know, Lane has not tweeted since the
Vanity Fair. There'll be a question about that.
Well, this is what's going to happen. He's been lining up tweets for weeks, okay? He just hadn't published them. And on the Monday of the Ole Miss game, before he's going to start launching them all, and Pete Golding's head's going to explode.
All right, let's take one more break, and we'll be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Performance in products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Cluck your way to a big win. Play Chicken Scratch Bingo Tripler from the lottery. Win up to $50,000. Get ready to ruffle some feathers with big wins. Ready to stack up the cash? Then play $100,000 cash stacks from the lottery. Top prize, $100,000. Pile on the fun with $100,000 cash stacks. Louisiana Lottery, celebrating 35 years of reasons to smile. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Hey. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, final segment of the show. Haven't been able to get to this. Some future opponents announced for LSU football. First of all, Tulane, LSU playing Tulane in 2030. Glenn, you excited about that?
Well, I was at some of the greatest LSU Tulane games ever. I was at that 1973 game in Tulane Stadium. I was 12 when Tulane beat LSU 14-0. And then the year before, LSU barely beat Tulane 9-3 in Tulane Stadium with Burt Jones in that game. But, you know, that rivalry had its day. I mean, there were some great games, late 70s, early 80s on both sides. The 1982 game that LSU lost after getting the Orange Bowl bid, that was a classic game that Tulane won. But, you know, they haven't played since 2009. I always thought it was cool for LSU to play a regular season game in New Orleans every now and then. I think they had like a 3-1 deal going, you know, considering some of the teams they play, I think it would be smart to play Tulane every now and then. So this is good.
I think the bigger news actually is that they canceled the Arizona State. And it seems like they kind of replaced Tulane with Arizona State one of those years.
So does that mean they're not going to play another school from a Power Four conference that year? Do they think that rule is going to go away? Do they also feel that the season could potentially start a week earlier by scheduling Northwestern State and ULM on what would be right now week zero?
I think that's a safe bet.
That they think the schedule is going to be moved up?
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
Okay, so there could be, the Tulane game is scheduled August 31st. There could be actually a game on August 24th, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah.
In Tiger Stadium? Yeah. That better be a night game, like a night game, like at 10 o'clock.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's crazy. But I'm kind of glad, you know, it's great to see Tulane be as competitive as they are.
Hey, Tulane, man. You talk about a program that knew how to work the portal. The portal made them a program.
And dude, by 2030, LSU is going to be in the SEC, NFL. And
oh,
there's
my,
not
all right.
Be any...
no.
And
yeah,
Lane
so this
Kiffin
game
will be with the Cowboys.
I think there's a better chance that will happen than the breakaway happens by 2030.
Case, explain to us how the World Cup works.
How does Argentina have a soft schedule?
How does the World Cup operate extra time?
I forgot Case was here.
Extra time. What does that have to do with anything?
How do they just end the game? It's arbitrary. What the hell's going on?
Oh, you're saying like the extra the minutes at the end, the injury time, and yeah. I don't get it either.
I think it's whenever the team they want to win takes the lead, they say it's
and
over.
That's the problem. That's what
FIFA,
everyone's issue
man.
Is.
It's FIFA. Yeah. Who's more? Who do you trust more, FIFA or the NCAA?
You want to talk about an organization that won't enforce any rules? Ask Francis Balogun about that one.
So what did you think of the World Cup, Case?
I thought it was a fantastic filler between the end of LSU baseball and SEC Media Days. That's all I ever wanted it to be, and it filled that role perfectly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. See, the expectations were met there for Case.
I hate SEC Media Days.
There's only two more days left, and Thursday hopefully will be somewhat interesting with Lane Kiffin. So... All right, guys, we got to get out of here. Good show. It was fun. Raymond Parts joined us, and along with Chris Gordy from SEC Football Media Days. Also good stuff there from the Outkick's Dan Zakcheski. So that does it for another show. For the latest in Tiger Rag or for LSU news, check out TigerRag.com. If you missed any of the show, it will be uploaded to YouTube and anywhere you get your podcast. For Case, Todd, Glenn, Jeff, and everyone else that's been listening here to Tiger Rag Radio, have a good night, everyone.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.